What a joy to be with you tonight. I have so much love the food, my goodness, from all the different countries. I think I was invited to come because they heard I was an expert in international food. I have a very unique ability to eat, and I am so happy that I got to be here this evening. It was wonderful. To all who brought food, thank you so very much. We really, really enjoyed that. Tonight I'd like to tell you a story, and it's the story of the most wicked man who ever lived on earth and how his life changed. If you have a Bible, I would encourage you to look in the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 1. We're going to read the story of a man who, according to himself and by inspiration of the scripture, he was the worst sinner to ever live. And yet that man was changed in a miraculous way because of the power of God. In 1 Timothy chapter number 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 12. "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Here we have the story of the Apostle Paul. He was one of the men that God allowed to take the word of God into many different countries. He started churches in countries today we call Turkey, in Italy, in the Middle East. He was a man that God greatly used. But prior to that time in his life when God began to use him, this man was the chiefest of sinners. That's why he says in verse number 15, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." The story that I would like to tell you tonight is the story that Paul himself is telling us here in this passage. And if there was a title to this, it would be simply this: Why God Saved Me. You see, when God comes into a life and he allows that person to come to know the truth of the gospel is a very, very powerful message, and it teaches a person how that they can be right with God. But in order for that to occur, salvation must happen in the life of that individual. Why would God save someone? Well, you see, God has a specific plan for every person's life. One of the greatest joys in our life is to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and then begin to obey his plan for our life, because he is our creator and he brings us great joy when we do that which he has called us to do. God has a perfect will that affects every aspect of my life. Any time that the devil can get me to disobey God's will for my life, in effect, the devil is making me to do his own will. And so why is it that God wants us to do his will? Because he wants to bless us. And there are only two reactions that you can have to God's will. You can either obey or you can disobey God's will. Every person needs to be saved so that we can enjoy God's three purposes that he has for saving us. I grew up in the country of Mexico. When I was a small child, I remember once someone asked me, "Can you sing the national anthem?" And I said, "Well, certainly." They said, "Let's see if you can sing it." I said, "No problem." I put my hand like this over my heart, and I said, "Mexicanos al grito de guerra, en la seno al prestar y el bridón."
and I began to sing.
And they said, wait a minute, that's not the national anthem. You're supposed to sing, Oh, Say, Can You See? And my parents were listening off in the distance, and they said, Oh, that's the national anthem of Mexico. He thinks he's a Mexican. Later on, I moved to India. I'll never forget living in India. And we would stand there as foreigners with our hands at our side, and we would begin to sing, Jana Gana Mana Vina Jaya He Bharata. Oh, I learned that one as well. But it took some time for me to learn how to sing, Oh, Say, Can You See? And perhaps I still haven't learned all of the words, but I'm trying. You see, God had a plan for my life from a very early age. He allowed me to begin learning English, and I spoke from the time I was 10 months old. When I was 2, I started learning Greek. When I was 3, I started learning Spanish. When I was 5, I started learning Portuguese. When I was 8, I studied some Japanese. When I was 12, I studied French. I've had the privilege of studying some Telugu and some Hindi, and I've had the privilege of living in Israel, in Mongolia, and the Lord has given me many, many opportunities. Why? Because He had a purpose for my life, and God has a purpose for your life as well. And when we do God's purpose for our life, oh my, how it brings joy to our heart. And so as we consider this story of the Apostle Paul, what were the three reasons for which God saved Paul? First of all, God saved Paul to change him. God saved Paul to change him. Look, if you would, back in verse number 13 of our text. It says, who was before a blasphemer. This was his prior life. Blasphemy is the sin of attributing to God the deeds of the devil and attributing to the devil the deeds of God. That is when you look at something very beautiful which God has made and you say, oh, well, the devil made that. And then if the devil does something and hinders you and injures you, then instead of attributing it to the devil, many people would use the name of Jesus Christ in a blasphemous way. The Apostle Paul was such a blasphemer. Not only that, the Bible tells us that he was a persecutor. He persecuted those who were Christians, just as we have heard our brother from Japan, Brother Go-Oishi, say a few moments ago. When he was a child growing up, he would begin to mock those that were Christians, and he would speak belittling of them. And that was the way that Paul was raised as well. But then he says that he was injurious. And the word injurious simply means that he was a fighter. He would always find someone and get in a fight with them. He was always looking to cause problems. We might call him a rabble rouser. He was always getting into fights. But what happened to Paul? Well, you see, God changed Paul. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 20 says, For ye are bought with a price, wherefore glorify God with your body and with your spirit, which are God's. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17 says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We see what happened here in the life of Paul. In verse number 12, he gives us his own story, and he says, And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who would have thought that the worst sinner who lived on earth, the man who was a blasphemer, the man who was a persecutor of the Christians, would be used by God to become the greatest disciple, the greatest preacher that ever lived? That shows us the power of God and what God desires to do in our life. When God saves us, He saves us because He wants to change us. In verse number 13, the second part of the verse says to us, But I obtained mercy. He repeats that in verse number 16. He says, I obtained mercy. This is that moment at which Paul received salvation. And Paul received salvation. He received mercy. Verse number 14 says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Here we see that when Paul was saved, he received mercy, he received grace, he received love, he received hope, he received faith, he received all of these blessings that God wants to bestow upon every person upon earth. Now the reason Jesus Christ came here to this earth, according to verse number 15, is to save sinners. That is why Paul writes, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I remember when I was 15 years old, I was in Cuernavaca, Mexico, and I was working in a construction there at the church, and we were building some rooms, and I had a hammer and a chisel, and I was very busy working on something when all of a sudden a very large man, a man who had been a professional wrestler, walked into the church, and in Spanish he shouted out, "Where is the man in charge here?" And I remember I was trembling, and I went over to him and I said, He's at the house next door. And so I went and I got my father. And I said, Dad, there's a man here looking for you. This man went in and he began to speak to my father. About 2 weeks before, a man came to our church and his name is Armando. Armando had been a professional wrestler as well. Every Friday night, Armando and Polo would go out and they would go to the community called Antonio Barona in Cuernavaca. And they would find people who had difficulties with someone else, and they would offer their services to go and beat up that person for a price. Depending on how important or how big the guy was, they would charge a special price, and then they would go and beat this person up, and they would say, now don't you ever mess with so-and-so again. And then they would take that money, and they would go get drunk, and they would have a big laugh, and then go home that night. And that was their custom. Every Friday night. Well, when Armando came to our church, he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And so when Polo went to his house the next Friday, and he knocked on the door and he said, Armando, let's go. Armando said, I'm not going tonight and I'm not going again. And Polo said, what's wrong with you? He said, well, he said, I've accepted Christ. I'm saved. I'm not going to do that anymore. And Polo said, but Armando, come on, what's wrong with you? Are you crazy? He said, no, I'm not crazy. I went to this church and my life has now changed. And so Polo came and he said, what is this about his life changing? My father explained the gospel to him, that when a person has come into this world, we are sinners by nature. All of us have sinned. We are all sinners. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of our sin, we have a price that we must pay. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So my father began to explain this to Polo. He said, Polo, you see, Jesus Christ took your sin upon himself and he died for you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Polo, God doesn't want you to be separated from him for all of eternity. He wants you to go to heaven. But what you must do is be saved. The Bible says that if we're going to be saved, we must confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead. And in that way, we will be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And so that day, Polo got saved. You know, Polo went on to reject his lifestyle as a wrestler and as a fighter. Polo enrolled in our Bible Institute, and Polo became the pastor of a church. When God saves someone, he wants to change them. He wants to make them a new creature. He doesn't want that person to continue living in that old lifestyle. This last Tuesday night, I was preaching in a small town in Mexico, just 6 days ago, in Pachuca, in a little tiny church on the side of a mountain. A man came into the service that night with his wife. It was the first time he had ever been in the service. He came in and he listened to the gospel. After the service, I had the opportunity to go and speak with him, with Alejandro. We stood in the back of the service, and as I went back and I said, "Sir, how can I help you?" He said, "My life must change, or I'm going to take my life." He said, "I came to church tonight saying I was going to make one of two decisions. Either God was going to change me, or I'm going home tonight to commit suicide." He said, "I'm tired of my life. I cannot continue to live this way. If you can help me, I want to change. But otherwise, I'm through living." I had the privilege of going through the gospel with Alejandro. And within about 20 minutes, he bowed his head and he was just crying. He said, "Yes, I definitely need Jesus Christ to change my life." And he cried out to God and he asked him for salvation. He asked him for forgiveness. You know, his wife came the next day and she said, "I cannot believe what's happened to Alejandro. Praise God for what he does." You see, God has the power to change lives. I cannot do that. This church cannot change a life. Your pastor cannot change a life. But we have a God in heaven who is very, very powerful, and he wants to change us. That's why he wants to save us, so that he can change us and make us to be the people that he created us to be. The second reason why God saved Paul. According to verse number 16, he says, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." The second reason why God saves people is because not only he wants to change us, but secondly, because he wants to change others through our testimony. You've already heard the testimony of Armando and how his life affected Polo. But that story could be told once and again all around the world. Every person who has ever been saved was saved because someone else told them the good news of Jesus Christ, told them how that they could be saved. I will never forget when I was on a plane. I got on a plane in Bogota, Colombia, and I was flying to Bucaramanga. How would you like to grow up in a place called Bucaramanga? Now that's a name that will try to, that's an amazing name. And as I got on the plane that day, I'd already spent my time reading God's word as I normally do. And God says to me, "Bill, why don't you take your Bible down and read it some more?" And I took my Bible in Spanish that I had with me and I opened it up and I began to read. And suddenly the lady next to me said, "Ah!" She said, "Are you a pastor?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "Can you help me?" She began to cry. And I said, "Yes, what is wrong?" She said, "I need the Lord." I said, "Well, certainly." I took my Bible and I began to show her how that she could accept Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. That lady was gloriously saved right there on the plane. After we were almost halfway to Bucaramanga, and she said to me, "Brother Bill," she said, "I want you to know why it is that I needed help." She said, "You see, I was the pastor of a church for 18 years. She said, I became a pastor because someone told me that pastors make a lot of money. Now, I can tell you that's not true, but a lot of people think that. And she said, I became a pastor and I thought I'd make a lot of money. And so I was the pastor of a large church and I would tell them what I had read or heard or studied." She said, "But I never believed it." She said, "But after 18 years, I decided that that was not right, and I wasn't making much money anyway, and so I went into business. But 6 months ago, someone, a friend of my daughter's, began to talk to her and explain to her that Jesus Christ is real and explain to her how that she could be saved, that her life could be changed by Jesus Christ." She said, "And Brother Bill," she said, my daughter's been telling me that I need to go to that church and that I need to get saved." And she said, "My daughter's been pleading with me. This morning, as my daughter took me to the airport here in Bogota, she said, my daughter told me, she said, 'Mom, please accept Christ. You need Jesus Christ. He can change your life, Mom. He's real.' And I told my daughter, 'If Christ is real, then let him put a pastor in the seat next to me who can show me with his Bible how that I can know the Lord. Only then will I believe.'" When we arrived in Bucaramanga, we got down off the plane. This lady who was dressed in beautiful clothes went and sat on the floor of the airport, and she was just crying and on the phone. And I heard her when her daughter first picked up. She said, "It's true. Christ really is alive. He just saved me. He put a pastor on the plane next to me that had a Bible and showed me how I can be saved." She said, "God answered my prayer. Your prayer. I'm so happy." She said, "I'm canceling my meeting here in Bucaramanga. I'm getting back on the first plane to Bogota. I want to be with you." Oh, my daughter, thank you for never giving up on me. You see, when God saves us, he saves us because he wants to change us. But not only does he want to change us, he wants to use our testimony so that other people can be saved. That's what Paul is saying here. When God saved Paul, the lives of many other people were affected because of the influence of Paul's testimony. Paul came to know the Lord. His life was radically changed. He was a horrible, wicked man before. People would just cower as they would hear that Paul was coming towards them. And they would say, "No, we don't want to see that man. He might throw us in jail. He might do something terrible to us." Stephen himself, according to Acts chapter number 6, was killed by the authority of Paul. But God came into Paul's life and God changed Paul in an amazing way. Not only so that Paul's life would be different, but so that many other people could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why God saves us. He saves us because he wants to change us. He saves us because he wants to use our testimony so that other people can be saved. And why is this? In verse number 17, it puts it all together. It says, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." The third reason that God saves us is so that he can receive glory. Now you see, my friend, Jesus Christ came into this world. And he came here by the will of his Father because he knew that there were people here on this earth that would never ever know the truth of the gospel if he had not come. There was no one that could be saved without Jesus Christ coming here to this earth. So the Bible tells us that he was born in Bethlehem. He lived a life without sin. And when he was 30 years old, he began a ministry. And he would go around and teach in many different places. When he was about the age of 33, a group of people came against him and they took him violently. They arrested him. They condemned him of crimes of which he was not guilty. They then led him up to a cross there at the Mount of Calvary, and they crucified him and they watched him die. They took his body and they put it into a grave, and they thought that they would never see him again. But a miracle happened. 3 days later, the stone was rolled away. 3 days later, the grave clothes were empty and the body was gone, because 3 days later, Jesus Christ arose from the dead. Victorious over death and hell, victorious over sin, the only one in whose name we can trust for salvation. That is why Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12 says, "There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved." It is only through the name of Jesus Christ that a person can come to faith and a person can be changed. You see, God wants to change us. He is the only one who deserves all honor, all glory. He is the only wise God. He is the only King of kings. One day, we're going to find ourselves before the Lord in heaven. The book of Romans chapter 14 and verse number 12 says, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." One day our knees will bow before him, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But there is a reason why that you were invited here tonight, and that is so that you could understand the truth that the Bible teaches, that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, and he wants to save you, he wants to forgive you, he wants to change your life. In 1983, we were living in Georgia, and my younger sister could not sleep that night. She went into the bedroom where my father was and she woke him up. And she said, "Daddy, I can't sleep. I'm very worried, Daddy. Can you please, please come and pray with me?" At that time, my mother was expecting a very small baby. And inside her womb, there was a tumor that was larger than the baby. Most of us expected my mother to die. We had been warned by the doctor, and even our parents told us it was very likely that my mother would pass away. My father went into the living room, and he sat down in a big chair. He took my sister, and he put her on his knee. And he said, "Let's imagine that tonight we go to Acapulco in Mexico. And there on the beautiful beach of Acapulco, all of the children of the world are gathered together. And today, we're going to sing with them. We're going to lead them in a song. We're going to sing, 'Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world.'" He said, "Joy, would you like to sing with me?" And she said, "Yes." He said, "All right. Let's lead them in this song." And they began to sing, "Jesus loves the little children." As they began to sing, within just a few seconds, my sister stopped singing and she was crying. My dad said, "Joy, what's the problem?" She said, "Daddy, if we were on the beach of Acapulco and all of the children of the world were there before us, we could not lead them in that song, Daddy, because they don't know how to sing it." Many people around the world do not know that Jesus Christ loves them. The reason this church has invited you to this beautiful meal tonight is because they want you to know that there is a God in heaven who sent his son Jesus to this earth to pay for your sin, because God wants to change your life. He knows that desperation that you feel when you realize that you are a sinner and you cannot change yourself. And you see this pattern which goes from generation to generation. And you say, "I don't like to live this way. I don't want to live this way." And my friend, it's not necessary to live that way. God has given us an opportunity. An opportunity to have forgiveness for our sins. But the only person who can change us is Jesus Christ. And that's why we must come to him with the faith of a small child and say, "Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive my sin. I accept you as my Lord and Savior." When Jesus Christ was crucified upon Calvary, on either one of his sides, to his left and to his right, there were thieves. And there were two differences of opinion. One of the thieves said, "If you really were Christ, then you would get yourself off this cross and you would take us with you." And he blasphemed God. The other thief said, "Oh no, do not blaspheme God. We deserve to be here, for we are wicked men. We deserve to die. This man has done nothing wrong." And then he looked at Jesus and he said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." At that moment, he not only recognized that Jesus had no sin of his own, he recognized that Jesus is a king, and that one day that king would sit again upon his throne. He had the faith to believe that even though Jesus was being crucified at that moment, that somehow he would live again because he is God and he would be upon that throne. And he just said, "Just remember me." And Jesus gave him a promise. He said, "Verily I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise." Because of that promise, that thief, we know, went to be with God in heaven. Perhaps you might say, "Does God have a promise for me?" Oh, yes, he does. In the book of 1 John, chapter number 2, and verse number 25, we find that there is a promise for everyone who will believe in Jesus Christ. And the promise says this, "And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life." God offers eternal life to you tonight. You have to make a decision. You can either accept eternal life as God's gift to you this evening, or you can reject eternal life, telling God no. My prayer and my desire is that if you do not know the Lord, that you would accept him as your Savior this evening. Could I please ask every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed? I'm going to pray at this time. And as I pray, I would like for you to look inside of your own heart and just to ask yourself this question. If I were to die today, would I spend eternity with God in heaven? Has my sin been forgiven? Heavenly Father, please speak to hearts tonight. Let your will be done. Maybe you're here this evening and you say, you know, Brother Bill, I know that Jesus Christ has saved me. I remember that day when I placed my faith in Him. And maybe you're here tonight and you've already made that decision with no one else looking, please, except for myself. Would you please raise your hand if you have already made that decision to accept Christ? You say, I know the Lord is my Savior. If that's true, would you just raise your hand so that I can see your hand and rejoice with you? That's wonderful. Thank you. Please lower your hands. I saw many could not raise their hand. Maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, you know, I do not know Jesus as my Savior. I want to be saved. I want Him to forgive my sin. I want Him to change my life. I recognize my need of the Lord. And you would say, please pray for me. Would you raise your hand right there where you are? You say, I know that I need the Lord. Would you please raise your hand with mine tonight? Thank you. God bless you. Someone else, you'd say, please pray for me. I know I need the Lord. Thank you. God bless you. Someone else, you'd say, I know I need to be saved. I want Jesus Christ to forgive my sin. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? God bless you. I see these young men. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Someone else, you'd say, please pray for me. I need to be saved. I want Jesus Christ to forgive my sin. God bless you. Thank you. Someone else, you'd say, please pray for me. I need to be saved. I want Jesus to forgive my sins. That's wonderful. Thank you. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You may lower your hands. Jesus Christ came to this earth to save sinners. The Bible says that we're all sinners and we're all separated from God. Because of our sin, we have a price to pay, and that price is separation from God for all of eternity in hell. But because of God's love for us, He died on the cross. He sent His Son to die for us on the cross. At this moment, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'd like to lead you in a prayer. This prayer will not save you. But my desire is that you would pray with your heart and ask Him for salvation. If you would like to pray that type of a prayer, please pray this prayer with me, saying, Dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. Please forgive me for my sins. I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Please take me to heaven when I die. I want to be your child. In Jesus' name I pray. With your head still bowed and your eyes closed. If you've just prayed a prayer like that, would you raise your hand and say, Brother Bill, I've just prayed that prayer with all my heart. I've asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. If that's true, would you just raise your hand and let me pray with you again? I'd like to ask someone to go and speak with you from the Bible and show you from God's Word how you can know for certain that you're on your way to heaven. How many would say, Brother Bill, I've just prayed that prayer. Could you please raise your hand? Let me rejoice with you. God bless you. God bless you. Is there anyone else? You'd say, I've just prayed that prayer. God bless you. Anyone else? We're going to do this at this time. Our sister is going to begin playing a hymn of invitation. If God has spoken to you this evening and you are serious, you truly want to know the Lord as your personal Savior, as soon as the piano begins to play, we're all going to stand. And I'm going to ask you to please leave your place and make your way here to the front. There will be several men here at the front that will be ready to speak with you and encourage you, ladies that will be able to help you as well. And if you would like someone to show you from the Bible how you can know that you're on your way to heaven, these people would be very, very happy to show you.